morning.
Today's Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. First, I just wanted to say how humbled I am and honored to be with you today to share the Word of God. And I've learned so much from each of you, especially your messages each week about stewardship. And hopefully through today's sermon, you can see how we're all connected and that we continue to be fed by the Holy Spirit. May God bless us as we hear his word. So what about this analogy or comparison of a full-grown tree and that of stewardship? And by the way, as a reminder, stewardship is making the best use of our resources, talents, finances, people, gifts, time, Bruce, etc., for sharing the gospel of Christ and leading others into the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I've never seen an oak tree or a cedar or a mustard tree, a palm tree, or any fruit tree make a trip to the hospital to visit the sick, get on a plane to go on a missions trip to a third world country, help to set up church in a school cafeteria, teach Sunday school, sing and lead the church choir, participate in worship, make an offering, tithe, collect, count, and distribute the church finances, pray for someone, or love as Jesus taught us to love. Nope, I've never seen a tree do any of these things. Yet, remarkably, at the same time, I know as a Christian, there are not many greater symbols than a tall, sturdy, uniquely shaped tree to convey a lot about what it means to be a Christian and a faithful steward as God calls us to be. The Bible provides us with numerous examples of how trees represent the characteristics of Christians, in particular, good stewards. But before we go there, I would like to share with you how I personally came to understand the importance of this analogy of the tree and the faith journey of a Christian. As we've learned in the past 2 weeks of this series, our faith journey and the journey in the life of becoming good stewards is very much connected with first that tiny planted seed and then the sprouting and small and steady growth of the seedling that continues to mature and to grow. And at last to this tree, the tree we are talking about this week in our message. Now, back to my personal story. When I was just 19 years old, that being not too far off from almost 3 decades ago, after sowing some wild oats in my first year in college, no pun intended, okay, maybe just a little bit, I was misdiagnosed with a malignant bone tumor in my hip that turned out to be just a tiny growth spur that once removed took away the terrible pain that was causing me to pop an Advil or two every couple of hours for about a month and a half. At that time, my faith was small, and I relied on and trusted my parents to stand tall and reassure me that God had bigger plans for me. They pressed on believing I had been misdiagnosed, and they were right. In fact, my condition at that time is still described in medical textbooks today as often being easily misdiagnosed, and that the removal of this very tiny growth miraculously takes away this severe pain and is unlikely to come back. On a side note, ironically, I may have been Roman Catholic at that time, but it just occurred to me that it was the doctors at Columbian Presbyterian in New York City that helped to correctly diagnose me, which led to my healing. My friends, as much as I relied on my parents' prayers to help me, I also had many quiet, private times before God while I had to temporarily withdraw from my college studies. After all, if I was going to meet my Maker, even after this short life I had lived, I needed to have a better sense of who God was and where I was going. Looking back, I can see what God was doing. As it relates to the analogy of the tree we are talking about, I was being pruned. By definition, pruning is the act of cutting off or lopping off undesired or superfluous twigs, branches, or roots for purposes of stimulating increased growth. That's the standard definition. My roots had also not reached down deep enough to secure a footing in good, healthy soil. I was making choices that was leading to my demise rather than God's plan for my life. And God knows full well that a scar to the trunk and some repeat pruning is rather insignificant to everlasting life. Now let's take a closer look at the Old Testament scripture today in Psalm 1. Happy are they that do not take the path sinners tread. Their delight is the law of the Lord. And on the God's law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in due season. The wicked are not so like this, but are like chaff, dried up and useless, that the wind drives away. My friends, this psalm and similar scripture teaches us that life-giving choices involve the deliberate avoidance of the way of the wicked and the conscious choice of choosing God's way, so that we can be like trees planted by streams of life-giving water. I recently heard on the radio, as told by Elvis Presley's former hairdresser and confidant, that Elvis had desired to change his life in a big way just before he died. He was going to stop being around people who were bad influences. He was going to go away to get clean from his addictions, and he was going to jumpstart his career again, like in the 50s, by becoming an actor. But unfortunately, his addictions had gotten the better of him, and the drugs and pills that fed his body over many years got to his heart and ended his life. Now, friends, I don't want you to think that God always permits certain events to happen to us just because we need to turn away from bad choices like the ones I was making early on in college. But many times, pruning or pain, if you will, throughout our life is permitted so that, one, our trust and our relationship with the Lord is strengthened, as I've learned even from Gail last week, that our complete reliance and understanding of Christ as our cornerstone or foundation is solidified, that we get back on the path or God's way that leads to everlasting life, and so that we can freely give to others from our hearts because we have grown to understand there is no greater value on this earth and the life to come than to give. If we recall from the biblical story of Job, he suffered very much like a tree cut down to a stump. Even though Job was without much of the guilt that his friends tried to shame him with, Despite Job's many losses, he was able to hold on to the hope that is only found in knowing God's full measure of mercy and love for us. In Job 14, 7 through 9, Job says, "For there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its roots may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant." Mind you, Job's friends had not yet understood Job's wisdom acquired through significant pruning, and said to Job in verse 15, 4 through 5, "If you had your way, no one would fear God. No one would pray to him. Your wickedness is evident by what you say." But we know by the end of the story, Job was right about the pruned tree and right about God. We are to understand that God's love for us is greater than any fear in our being pruned. Our trees can be met with some tough challenges, uprooted by some temporary storms. In some cases, we may have to move our trees from one soil to another. For example, in the case of our children, they may need to grow away from the shadows of our house if they are ever to grow at all. But God promises us that if our trees take root in the foundation of the good word of God, if we abide in the Lord and the Lord in us, surrounded by the wisdom and prayers of good people and good stewards of the church, we can live a very blessed life, bearing much good fruit. Even a transported tree planted in the ground of the Lord will still grow to be a hardy tree. Good stewards founded on the foundation or cornerstone of Christ, living as Christ lived, are ready to bear good fruit in due season. And now for our last verse. In Psalm 92, 12, 15 says, "The righteous will flourish like palm trees. They will grow like cedars of Lebanon. They are trees planted in the house of the Lord that flourish in the temple of God, that still bear fruit in old age and are always green and strong. This shows that the Lord is just and that there is no wrong in our protector." My God and my good friends, I pray that the word of God penetrates our hearts today. And I pray that although we may not escape good testing, that God swiftly reveals to us for the blessings of our souls and in preparation of our good charity, the purpose behind our pruning and uprooting that may need to occur. I pray that we all seek after righteousness and that our individual trees may continue to glorify the Lord and welcome others into our fold. May we live and grow and love one another, planted in the center of the house of the Lord, always bearing good fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen.